بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. وأصلي وأسلم وأبارك على سيدنا محمد المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الهدى قادة التقى. أما بعد، قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ونفعنا بعلومه وحشرنا في زمرته يوم القيامة. باب العفو عن الخادم. This chapter is in regards to pardoning one's servant. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi has mentioned several chapters here in relation to how one should be with his servant. Many of these ahadiths refer to slaves, and even though we don't have slaves now, but there are many lessons we can learn in relation to how to deal with other people, in particular people who may appear to be our subject, within our control, within our authority, for example employees, etc. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, عن أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معه غلامان، فوهب أحدهما لعلي وقال لا تضربه فإني نهيت عن ضرب أهل الصلاة وإني رأيته يصلي منذ أقبلنا. We read this hadith last week already. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not hit this slave because I have been prohibited. So when it says I have been prohibited, who would prohibit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Of course it means by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has prohibited hitting of people of salah. So I was listening to a dars of an Arab scholar, Sheikh Al-Badr, and he mentions a nice point here. He says some ulama have written that if Allah is prohibiting us to punish somebody who performs salah, then we can be hopeful that if a person performs salah in dunya, Allah will not punish him. Because if Allah doesn't allow others to punish a certain person, why would Allah punish that person himself? So, there's a beautiful look at a point that being punctual on salah will save a person from Allah's punishment on the day of Qiyamah. And, قال استوصي به معروفا فاعتقه، قال ما فعل، قال امرتني ان استوصي به خيرا فاعتقته. Over here as well as a lesson in how the Sahaba would hasten to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would try so hard to fulfill the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately and in the best way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only said, treat him well. So he didn't have to free him, but he thought that the best way to act upon this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is by freeing him, and he did that immediately. So we see many examples in the ahadith of how the Sahaba were eager to act upon the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately and as best as they could. The next hadith, we also read this last week, of Anas radiallahu anhu's stepfather sent him in the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never question me for something I did or didn't do. Why did you do this? Why did you not do that? And he never hit me. He never harmed me. He was never harsh towards me. We also read this hadith last week, 165, that if a slave steals, sell him even for a nash, even for us. If you get a very, meager price for him, if you have to sell him for cheap, if you get less than what you would normally expect, then still free him. Don't keep, as I sell him, even if you sell him for cheap, don't keep that slave.
Recording in progress.
So now today's lesson is from chapter 87, Babul Khadim Yuznib, hadith number 166. عن عاصم بن لقيط بن صبرة عن أبيه رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: انتهيت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ودفع الراعي في المراحي صخرة، وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحسبن، ولم يقل لا تحسبن، إن لنا غنما فئة لا نريد أن تزيد، فإذا جاء الراعي بصخرة ذبحنا مكانها شاة. فكان فيما قال: لا تضرب زعينتك كضربك أمتك، وإذا استنشقت فبارك إلا أن تكون صائما. لقيط بن صبرة رضي الله عنه, he's a Sahabi and he came with his tribe as a waqf, as a delegation on behalf of his people to accept Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the shepherd drove a newborn sheep into their night shed. Murah, the place where they used to spend the night. And sakhla means a newborn sheep, a lamb. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحسبن. So, there seems to be abbreviations here. These people came to visit Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told one of the khadims to slaughter a goat or a sheep and feed it to them. So we learn a lesson from that. If you have guests, if somebody or a delegation, somebody visits, you should feed them and treat them well, honor them. But then Rasulullah said, لا تحسبن, do not suppose, meaning do not suppose that we are slaughtering this sheep just for you, because we have 100 sheep and we do not want them to increase. Subhanallah. Rasulullah said, 100 is enough. Every time we get 101, we slaughter one and eat it, consume it. So it doesn't go over the 100 mark. This is our practice, this is our habit. That's why I slaughtered this sheep. Why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this? Why is he telling them, the guests, that I haven't slaughtered this goat especially for you? This is our practice. But he didn't want them to feel that feeling of guilt or feel upset that, oh, he put them through so much trouble that they had to slaughter a whole goat just for us. He said, no, don't worry, we didn't do this specially for you. We would have done this anyway. This is our normal practice. He says here, لا تحسبن. And then the narrator says, وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ. Yeah. So this shows how particular and how meticulous the muhaddithin were. So the narrators are saying that, because in the Arabic language, you could say لا تحسبن, لا تحسبن, they both mean the same thing. Many words on the middle letter, the عين كلمة is known as, you can say it in different ways and it means the same thing. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا. So, they both mean the same thing. But he's just showing that he said, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ, he didn't say, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ. This just shows that they were very particular about the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and even the harakat, the how did he say it, how did he pronounce it. Even they would have meant the same thing. So, when the shepherd brings the newborn sheep, he slaughter one. And then, as Al-Laqid bin Sawira, radiallahu anhu, part of what he said to me was, do not beat your wife like you would beat your slave girl. So from here, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is saying that it is permissible to discipline one's servant if needed. And the second advice he gave was, when you wash your nose, snuff up water freely unless you are fasting. So when you do wuzu and you do istinshaq, take the water in your nose. Okay? And then blow, in other ahadith it comes, فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ, which means blow it out as well. So do this thoroughly, clean your nose well. Many people just splash the water into their nose and it barely goes inside. So this is not the sunnah. The sunnah is that try and blow in a little bit so the water gets taken in, and then blow it out as well. And do the same thing 3 times so the inner part of the nose is cleaned very well. So, baligh, do it really well, illa an takuna sa'iman, unless you are fasting. If you are fasting, then don't take it, don't try too much, because if you end up swallowing some, then your fast will break. When you're not fasting, don't do it so much, otherwise, you should do your istinshaq really well. Snuff the water in well. Chapter 88 باب من ختم على خادمه مخافة سوء الظن.
What's the topic this week?
Huh?
What's this week's topic?
Slaves and
slavery.
Dealing with how to deal with slaves and servants, employees. عن أبي العالية قال كنا نؤمر أن نختم على الخادم ونكيل ونعودها كراهية أن يتعود خلق سوء أو يظن أحدنا ظن السوء. أبو العالية says we were instructed to seal things we entrust to our servants and to weigh and count things so that they should not get into habits of bad behavior and we do not unfairly suspect them. If you have an employee or somebody who does some work for you, you know, then and somebody's taking money from one place to another, for example, or taking some expensive items, count the items, count the money first, and then give it to them. Or seal it. If you have a bag, close it properly, tie it, seal it, tape it up, right? It says sealed. And there's two benefits to this. Number one, it benefits that person because they won't get any bad thoughts, bad ideas. You know, that, you know what, if I take one, he's not going to notice. Right? Same if you have a shop or you have somebody working in your house, keep your valuables locked, keep them hidden away, count how many you've got. So there's safety for that person in there that he won't be tempted to steal. Because, you know, if I steal, I'm going to get caught straight away.
Right.
And there's also benefit for us because you will save yourself from su'uzan, save yourself from thinking bad of that person. Right? He might not even steal something, but you'll come back and you'll say, oh, you know what, I'm sure there was more here. I'm sure he's taken some. I'm sure he's stealing from me. Right? If you have somebody coming into your house to work, or you have a shop or a business, or you have people taking things places for you, then count them or seal them or count and check how many they are. That way there's no su'uzan. Yeah, we should try and avoid places of tuhma for ourselves as well. Don't put yourself in a place where somebody could accuse you of doing something wrong. At the same time, we shouldn't think bad of another that he might be doing wrong. We should think best of others. Always think good of others. One hadith in Muslim Sharif says, اتقوا الظن فإن الظن أقرب الحديث. And the Quran says as well, إن بعض الظن إثم. So we shouldn't think bad of others. Always think good of another. That's why the ulama say, even if you see someone doing bad, or apparently doing something bad, you should think that maybe there's some ta'wil behind it. Maybe they have some good reason for doing that. Maybe they were forced into doing it. Maybe they didn't do that. They did something else. But try and think good of others. Don't think bad of others. Or maybe if you know somebody did a sin, you don't know. They may have done tawbah. Or they may have had some reason to do it. They were forced to do it. They had to do it. They didn't have a choice. So always try and think good of others. Don't think bad. And try and adopt such means which will save you from thinking bad of others. Because in the shaitan, the inside image of them, shaitan influences your thoughts and he gives you a sawis and makes you think bad of others. So avoid that position in the first place. And one of the ways to do that is what? Before you give someone something, count it, check it, so then you won't have that su'ul zan. باب من عدى على خادمه مخافة الظن. عن سلمان رضي الله عنه قال إني لأعد العراق على خادمي مخافة الظن. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu says that I count the pieces of bone, meaning if there's meat from the butchers, I'd count how many bones there are, how much meat there is. Ala khadimi, in front of my servants, for fear of unfairly suspecting him. Mukhafat al-Zan. I know he's not going to steal from me, but still, what if that thought comes in my mind? Maybe he's stealing. So to save that from happening, before I leave them with him, I'll count them. Then he might cook them, and when he brings them, if I even get a bad thought, I can just count them me and say, okay, they're all here. There's no need to suspect. So he saves you from a form of paranoia, right? If you don't check things properly, if you've got a business, for example, you don't check the money in the till, you just leave it to your employees, but you're going to be paranoid. Oh, what if my employees are stealing from me? What if they're taking it without me? Or what if we don't have a proper stock list? my wife items, just taking items home, I don't even know about it. But if you just count, have a proper list, and you check how much money is in the till, you can always check. And therefore, you won't be paranoid, and you won't think bad of them, and they won't be tempted to steal either. Hadith 169 is the same hadith with a different chain of transmission. The injured out of the Urafa, Khashyat al-Zan. Chapter 90, Babu Adabil Khadim. قال سمعت يزيد بن عبد الله بن قسيط قال أرسل عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه غلاما له بذهب أو بورق أو قال بورق فصرفه فأنظر بالصرف فرجع إليه فجلده جلدا وجيعا وقال اذهب فخذ الذي لي فلا تصرفه. In many ahadith there are instructions on not hurting one's slaves, but sometimes you may need to discipline the slave. Like an example here, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma sent a slave of his with some gold or silver. The slave changed it, deferring the exchange. Right? For example, he gave the gold. He gave gold and said, "I'll take the silver later." Or he gave silver and he said, "I'll take the gold later." So now this is haram. This is riba. Right? In currencies, in gold and silver, the ruling is, you're not allowed to exchange them. You're not allowed to exchange gold and silver on credit. It has to be immediate, hand by hand. The hadith says, "Al-dhahab bi-dhahab wal-fidda wal-fidda ila qawlihi yadan bi-yadin al-mislan bi-mislan." So you can't exchange, you're not allowed to exchange gold for silver, or gold for gold, silver for silver, except immediately. So what this slave did was something haram. Okay, that he deferred it and gave on and gave gold or silver on credit. So Umar radiallahu anhu gave him a painful thrashing and said, "Go back and take what is mine. Do not agree to a deferred exchange. They don't do that because it's haram." Yeah, maybe he had told him previously. You can see Umar Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was very strict in following the Sharia, following the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when his slave did something haram, he couldn't just let it go, he disciplined him for it. Nabi Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala qultu adhi sami'tu min khalfi sawtan i'lam Aba Mas'ud lallahu aqdaru alayka minka alayh faltafattu faydahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qultu ya Rasulullah fahuwa hurrun li wajhillah qala ama alla اللو لم تفعل لمستك النار أو قال لفحتك النار. Abu Mas'ud رضي الله عنه reports that I was beating a slave of mine when I heard someone behind me saying, "Know Abu Mas'ud that most certainly Allah has greater power over you than you have over him." Allah has more power over you than you have over this slave. People who beat their children, beat their students, beat their employees, or beat their wife, beat family members, should take heed of this. That you may have temporary control over this person, but the control and the power and the authority Allah has over you is much greater. So Allah, and he said, I turned around and there was Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, "Ya Rasulullah, he is free for Allah's sake." He said, "Had you not done so, the fire would have touched you." Or he may have said, "Fire would have scorched you." But if you had not freed that slave, then you would deserve Jahannam. That's how great a sin this is. You're beating your slave up for no reason. So if you hadn't freed your slave, then Jahannam would, the fire of Jahannam would have touched you. You would have been punished in Jahannam. Babun لا يقول قبح الله وجهه. A person should never say قبح الله وجهه, which means may Allah make his face ugly. May Allah make him ugly. Sometimes if you have somebody annoys you, and out of anger a person makes a bad dua like this. So you should never say words like this about someone. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال لا تقولوا قبح الله وجهه. عن النكس روايه 173 عن ابي هريره قال لا تقولن قبح الله وجهك ووجه من اشبه وجهك. Then never say to anyone, may Allah make your face and every face like yours ugly. Right? Then he gives a reason here. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. Because Allah Almighty created Adam in his form. Okay? So it's saying, don't hit somebody on the face because Allah created Adam in his form.
Adam in Allah's in his form.
So this is... Yeah, I'm going to explain this. So it means his fault is the fault of that person. This is one, there's three possibilities here. Mullah Ali Khair, rahmatullah, has written the sharh. Imam Nawawi has also mentioned similar to this. That either Suratul Wajh, that Allah created Adam on the... Allah created Adam and the main part of the a person's appearance is the face. Right, because you recognize a person from their face and you appreciate a person's beauty based on the face. So therefore, the face is where the beauty is, and Allah created Adam on the surat of his face, meaning all human beings take their form and their beauty from their face. Therefore, you shouldn't disrespect someone's face. That's one meaning. Number two is خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَى سُورَةِ آدَمَ. Meaning Allah created Adam when Allah created Adam, He created him on his full form. Whereas other humans, you know, you're in the mother's womb and then you grow up as a baby and then you develop and you get your face and that changes. But otherwise, Allah created him on his adult form. That in that case, it has no relevance to the part before it. This is a very weak opinion. Another meaning is ala suratil madhroob. Don't hit that person on the face because Allah created Adam on a similar surah to the surah of that person who you're hitting. On a similar appearance to the appearance of the person you're hitting. So he's a child of Adam, he's a son of Adam, or a daughter of Adam, he's from the same progeny. So don't respect, at least respect that face because of Adam alayhi salam. Some say, and one opinion is, so this opinion, Suratul Madhroob, I'm not 100%. No, I think Imam Nawawi said this is the strongest opinion, but don't quote me. No, Imam Tibi says, Imam Tibi rahmatullahi says that Ibn al-Jawzi preferred this opinion. Ibn al-Jawzi is a great muhaddith. He said it means Suratul Madhroob. And yeah, one interpretation by many scholars is that it's خَلَقَ آدَمْ عَلَى سُورَتِهِ أي سُورَةِ اللَّهِ. What does that mean? So all the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we agree that it can't be the literal meaning. That it can't be that a human being was created on the form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala himself says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nothing can be like Allah, nothing can be compared to Allah. Nothing can be considered similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that case, Mufti Ahmad Khan Guri explained in this way, that Allah ta'ala ne Hazrat Adam alayhi salam ke andar apni kuch sifat ke namune rakhe hain. Mathalan sifat-e-wujud, sifat-e-ilm, sifat-e-sam, sifat-e-basar, sifat-e-irada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put some examples and some indicators of his own sifat in the human being. Allah, for example, the human is a, what do you call it, mazhar, is a manifestation of Allah's existence. Okay? Allah sees, Allah has given the human ability to see. Allah speaks, Allah has given human ability to speak. Allah hears, Allah has given human ability to hear. Of course, our seeing, speaking, hearing is nothing like Allah's speaking or seeing or hearing. But these are certain sifat of Allah, and Allah has given us that ability in a way that He hasn't given to other creations. Other animals can't speak the way we can or understand the way we can. So all of this seeing,
speaking, hearing, even thinking is all related to the head and to the face. So the face is a place where sifat of Allah or examples and similarities to sifat of Allah are apparent. Therefore, we should respect the face and we should not hate them. Wallahu a'lam. I'm just translating what the other side said. Goya Allah ne Adam alayhi salam ki surat bahut achhi banayi. Laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqwim. That means Allah made Adam alayhi salam in a very good appearance, a beautiful appearance. And Allah himself says that we have created insan, human, in the best of forms. Dunya mein jitni shakl Allah ne banayi, sabse behtareen shakl insan ko ata farmayi. From amongst all animals and creation, Allah gave human being the best and most beautiful of appearances. So therefore, that human being deserves to be respected, and especially the face deserves to be respected. It should never be hit. Even if hitting becomes permissible, even in jihad, in battle, Rasulullah has encouraged to avoid hitting the face. Because still a human being, respect the face. Yeah. So, this is a summary of why managed to read on the hadith. Babun, just an image of the same message that never hit on the face.
What about boxing?
Good question. I asked my ustad, Mufti Tahir Sahib, what's the ruling of boxing? He says it's not jais. Mufti Tahir Sahib Zahanpur, Mufti Abu Zahran. I asked him, because of this hadith, he said it's not jais. So then I asked him, what about watching it? So he said, if practicing is not jais, watching is not jais either.
Oh.
أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال إذا ضرب أحدكم قادمه فليشتري بالوجه. So if you must hit then avoid the face. عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال مر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بدابة قد وسم يدخل من خاره. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن الله من فعل هذا لا يسمن أحد من الوجه ولا يضربه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by an animal which had been branded, meaning on its face, and smoke was coming out of his nostrils. So Rasulullah, meaning it just happened just then. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah curse the person who did this. No one should ever, or Allah will curse the person who did this. No one should ever brand or strike the face. Sometimes farmers need to brand the animal with like an iron to make a mark, right? But if it's to be done, do it on the back, behind the back, where it doesn't hurt so much. Don't do it in the face. So it's not, you can see how kind and compassionate Rasulullah was when he saw this scene that a camel has been branded on the face and the smoking from his nose. He couldn't see it, and he gave a baddu'a and he said that this person deserves to be cursed. So why would you hurt an animal like this on the face? They don't ever brand on the face and don't ever hit on the face, even if it's an animal. Yeah, sometimes you have to strike the animal if it's misbehaving, or if you're riding a horse, you hit it on the back.
Yeah.
Never hit the animal on the face. It's not allowed. Babu Muman Nandatama Abdahu for the Utif Umdari Ijab. So in the hadith, it says that if you hit your slave wrongly, then you should free it. Imam Bukhari says, Nandayi Ijab, that it's not wajib, it's not necessary, but it's a mustahab act.
كنا يقول لنا بالمزة في دار سويد بن مقرن فخرجت جارية فقالت لك من شيئا فأتمها ذلك رجل فقال سويد ألتمت وجهها لقد رأيتني سابع سبعة وما لنا إلا خادم فأتمها بعضنا فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يعتقها.
هلال بن يساف says we were selling linen in the house of سويد بن مقرن, selling some cloth, when a slave girl came out and said something to one of the men, so the man slapped her. Suwayd bin Muqarrin said to him, have you slapped him in the face? How could you do that? Why do you do that? We were seven brothers and we had only one servant. Normally people have several servants to do all that. They work in the house, they work outside, they work in the, if they've got orchards and gardens to water the trees, you know, all the work was done by slaves. But seven of us were sharing one servant. One of us slapped her and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him to set her free. But why did you slap her? Your punishment is let her go free now, so that you're not questioning the day of Qiyamah hitting. So Imam Bukhari has indicated that this is mustahab, not wajib.
عن ابن عمر انه قال سبحانه وتعالى يقول: من لدغ عبده او ضربه حدا لم ياتي فكفارته عتقه. The animal who slaps his slave or beats him up for an offense he has not committed must set him free in compensation. Okay, but again, you can see here the hadith is saying something. Imam Bukhari in his tarjuma has said min ghayri ijab. It shows that not every hadith has to be taken exactly as on its zahir. Sometimes there are interpretations and ta'wil for a hadith. That's why you need fuqaha and ulama to interpret a hadith for you. Because this hadith apparently means if you hit a slave, you have to pay it. But the ulama all agree. Imam Bukhari is even saying here that min ghayri ijab. It's not ghayri ijab. Some people now are very adamant that every hadith you have to just act upon the zahir. It's just not practical, nor is it possible to do that. The same hadith again, but a slightly longer version. Muawiyah, son of Suwayd al-Muqarrin, says that latamtu mawla lana fafarra, that I slapped a slave of ours, so he ran away. Fada'ani abi faqala qtassa. Later when he came back, my father called me and said to the slave, take your revenge, slap him. He slapped you. My son slapped you, so you slap my son to take your revenge. This shows how fair the Sahaba were. Nowadays, if somebody hits our child, we say, yeah, you did a good job. Yeah. This is the other way around. He's saying to him that slap him back, I take your revenge. And then he said this hadith, كنا ولد مقارن سبعة لنا خادم. The us, children of مقارن, there were seven of us, seven brothers, only one servant. فلطمها أحدنا, one of us slapped her. فذكر ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, it's mentioned, صلى الله عليه وسلم, مرهم فليعتقوها, let them, they should free her. فقيل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لها خادم غيرها. So it was said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that they only have this one slave. قال فليستخدموها وإذا استغنوا خلوا سبيلها. Okay, let them take service from her, but when they can spare her, when they don't need her, then they should let her go free. So the Messiah said, okay, don't free her right away, because you need her. You need her to work for you, but as soon as you don't need her, you should free her. So some ulama say this is a dalil that it's not wajib to free her, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed to delay it. قال لي محمد الكريم ما اسمك قلت شعبة قال حدثني أبو شعبة عن سعيد بن قلم المزني ورأى رجل نظم غلامه قال ما عند النسورة محرمة. Do you not know that the face is forbidden, meaning the face is sacred, is respectable, you'll be hitting on there. رأيتني وإني سابع سبع إخوة على أحد رسول الله صلى الله إلا قادم فلطمه أحدنا فأمر يسمى النقض. Say this is different wording. كنا عند ابن عمر فدعا بغلام له كان ضربه فكشف عن ظهره فقال أيوجعك؟ قال لا. So the Adhan says that we were sat by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما and there was a slave of his. He called the slave and he opened up his back and he said, does it hurt you here? Meaning he had hit him on the back. He may have got angry and hit him, but then he felt bad. So he said, does it hurt? Are you feeling pain? Are you in pain? قال لا. He said, no, I will not feel any pain. فأعتقه. Still he freed him. Even though he was feeling okay, but still he feed him. ثم رفع عودا من الأرض. Then he lifted a small wooden stick from the ground. وقال ما لي فيه من الأجل ما يزن هذا العود. That, you know, setting a slave free is such a good reward. But he says that I do not have any reward for setting him free, even equal to the weight of this stick. فقلت يا أبا عبد الرحمن لما تقول هذا. So why do you say this? قال سمعت رسول الله يقول أو قال من ضرب مملوكه حدا لم يأته. So whoever beats his slave up for an offense he has not committed or slaps him on the face, then فإن كفارته أن يعتقه. The only compensation for this is to free that slave. So he says, because of that, that's why I freed the slave, so I won't get any thawab for it.
This is not just better to not have a slave. Right. How does one become a slave? What's that?
I mentioned that in a previous lesson. You might hear that. It's very, very short. Very short. I'll say since last time. Usually, the way a person would become a slave is if they were brought as prisoners of war.
All right. Yeah.
So rather than killing them or imprisoning them, or let them free and they'll come back and try to kill you again, this is one way that you give them half the rights, and generally, when they would live amongst Muslims, they'd see the beauty of Islam and they would accept Islam as well. Yeah. قال عن عمرو بن ياسر رضي الله عنه قال: لا يذهب احد عبدا له وهو ظالم له الا اقيد منه يوم القيامه. That anyone among you who beats up a slave unjustly should have to repay him fully on the day of Qiyamah. Either from qawl, meaning revenge will be taken. The way you punished him, you will be punished. The same, if you don't have slaves, but if this is the case with slaves, with a free, it's matalika awla, even more likely that if you hit someone for no reason, you just beat someone up because you can't, just because you're stronger, or you hurt someone, you harm someone, on the day of Qiyamah, that person will be able to take revenge from you and take compensation from you.
Some people have this, you know, they have this attitude just because they're built. If they're out on the street, somebody looks at them wrong and they're smacking them.
So you should remember, on the day of Qiyamah, the same will happen to you. Salman Farsi came out and he saw the fodder falling from the manger. What this means is that the servant hadn't tied the bag properly, so it was falling out. Okay, when it falls out, animals will come and eat it, it'll get wasted, it'll go to waste. So he said to the servant, if I did not fear retaliation, meaning on the day of Qiyamah, I would have beaten you very hard. Because you should have tied it properly, you should do it properly. This is laziness, carelessness. But he says, I would hit you, but I won't, because on the day of Qiyamah, I don't want to be punished.
لا تؤدن الحقوق إلى أهلها حتى يقاد للشاة الجماء من الشاة القرناء.
You shall most certainly pay back every rightful claim. Even a hornless sheep shall have a retaliation against a horned one. Meaning Allah Ta'ala will bring the animals back on the day of Qiyamah, and whenever an animal harms another, then there will be retaliation there to show Allah's fairness. So if that's the case with animals who are not even mukallaf, who are not even responsible for their actions, then what do you think is going to happen to those human beings who have been instructed of fairness and who are responsible for their actions?
And no people like back home in India, and so is that considered a slave? You know, people who have
been they are employees, not slaves. فدعا وصيفة له وأولاها فأبطأت فاستبان الغضب في وجهه وقامت أم سلمة إلى الحجاب فوجدت الوصيفة تلعب معه سواك فقالت لولا خشية القبض يوم القيامة لأوجعتك بهذا السواك. زاد محمد بن هيثم تلعب ببهمة فقال فلما أتيت بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله إنها لا تحلف ما سمعتك. قال وفي يده سواك.
So أم سلمة رضي الله عنها reports that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in her house he called a slave girl. But she was slow, meaning she didn't respond. So anger could be seen in his face. You know, sometimes even this happens with children. You call them and they just ignore, they don't listen. So it's natural to feel annoyed and angry by this. Umm Salama radiallahu anha went to look behind the curtain and she saw the girl playing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a miswak in his hand. He said, had it not been for fearing retaliation on the day of Qiyamah, I would have hurt you with this miswak. Muhammad al-Haytham adds, she was playing with an animal. He also adds, I'm bringing the slave girl back. Umm Salamah said, Ya Rasulullah, she swears she did not hear you. Maybe she didn't hear, but then the reason she didn't hear is she was too busy playing. She should be paying attention. So she was still wrong. But the point over here is, Rasulullah did not hit her. And he said that, I do feel like hitting you, but out of fear of Allah and fear of retaliation of the Qiyamah, I'm not hitting. So we should take a lesson from there as well.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ضرب ضربا اقتص منه يوم القيامة.
Whoever beats someone
unjustly, then he will have to make amends to him on the day of Qiyamah.
Retaliation will be taken on the day of Qiyamah. Never wrong anyone, never hurt anyone, harm anyone with that right.
Again, the same hadith from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. باب اكسوهم مما تلبسون. The hadith says that you should clothe your slaves from what you wear and feed them from what you eat. عن عبادة ابن الوليد بن عبادة بن صامت رضي الله عنه قال خرجت أنا وأبي نطلب العلم في هذا الحي من الأنصار قبل أن يهلكوا فكان أول من لقينا أبو اليسر صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعه غلام له وعلى أبي اليسر يسري بردة ومعافري وعلى غلامه بردة ومعافري.
He says, my father and I went to seek knowledge from the Ansar while the people of knowledge were still alive.
سبحان الله. سلسلة الصحابي يعني السن ببوث after رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away, he said, let's go to the Ansar and let's gather as much knowledge as we can before they also die. So the first Sahabi we met was Abu Yasir, and he was accompanied by a slave. And Abu Yasir was wearing one striped robe and a Yemeni robe known as Ma'afiri. There used to be a tribe in Yemen called Ma'afir, so the robes which they would sew were known as Ma'afiri. So he's wearing striped robe and a Ma'afiri robe. And I was also wearing a striped robe and a Yemeni Ma'afiri robe. So they're both wearing not matching suits. Right? Normally, what the Arabs would do is they would have one upper garment, the Rida, and the lower garment, the Izar. And they both would match. So that's a suit. It's matching. It looks nice. But over here, they're both wearing odd, both wearing one of each.
Right?
I said to him, uncle, فقلت يا عم لو أخذت بردة غلامك وأعطيته معافريك أو أخذت معافريه وأعطيته بردتك. Why don't you both wear either one, both of one or both of the other, so that your cheek at least wearing matching? It was nice. كانت عليك حلة وعليه حلة. You can have a matching pair. You can have a matching pair. فمسح رأسي. He passed his hand over my head. فقال الله بارك فيه. Oh Allah bless this child. يا ابن أخي. Oh my nephew. بصروا I think it should be بصورة عيني هاتين وسمع أذني هاتين ووعاه قلبي وبصر عيني هاتين وسمع أذني هاتين ووعاه قلبي وأشار إلى نياط قلبه. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, so he said, these two eyes of mine have seen and my two ears have heard and my heart has remembered this. Whilst he pointed to his heart, the Prophet ﷺ said, أطعموهم مما تأكلون, feed them from what you eat, وكسوهم مما تلبسون, and clothe them from what you wear. وكان أن أعطيهم من متاع الدنيا أهون علي من أن يأخذ من حسناتي يوم القيامة. I'd rather give my slave more in this dunya than let him take my good deeds hereafter. Subhanallah. So he was wearing these odd clothes and his slave wearing the same because he didn't want to differ, be very different from his slave. This shows their akhlaq and how fair they were, how good they were, even to their slaves. قال سبيل جميع عبد الله يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا ويقول أطعموا مما تأكل وألبسوا مما من لبوسكم ولا تعذبوا خلق الله عز وجل. Same hadith, there's an addition that do not be hard on, do not punish, do not harm, or do not trouble the creation of Allah. Be good to all Allah's creatures. باب سباب العبيد, to tell up all or to speak harshly to one's slave. رأيت أبا ذر رضي الله عنه وعليه حلة وعلى غلام حلة فسأله عن ذلك قال إني سابت رجل مشركين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعيرته بأمه؟ قلت نعم ثم قال إن إخوانكم خولكم جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم فمن كان أخوه تحت يده فليطعمه مما يأكل وليلبسه مما يلبس ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم فإن كلفتموهم ما يغلبهم فأعينوهم. That I saw Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه wearing a suit and he was accompanied by a slave who was wearing a similar suit. We questioned him about that. We found that strange. The master and the slave were wearing the same kind of clothes. You'd expect the master to have nice clothes and the slave to have, you know, some old ripped up clothes. So he said, I once exchanged verbal abuse with someone and he complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to me, have you insulted him on account of his mother? I said that I did. Over here it's short, but in another riwayat, another narration, it comes that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu insulted Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu in the racial manner. He said, Yabna Sawda, that you are the son of a black lady. So, over there, Mufti Ahmad Sahib mentions that it's quite possible that he didn't realize that this would be offensive and racist. Sometimes in certain cultures, you know, racism is so normal, you don't even realize it's a bad thing. So at that time, this was like a normal thing. But Rasulullah ﷺ brought his attention that no, you shouldn't have said that. And he said to him that, إِنَّكَ مْرَأُمْ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ, there's still some jahiliyyah and ignorance in you, because racism is ignorance. you are ignorant, you never have made such a racist comment. So Rasulullah pointed that out and told him off for that. And it comes in one narration that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu then lied down on the ground, placed one cheek on the ground. And he said to Bilal that I won't get up until you place your foot on my cheek. So then until Bilal radiallahu anhu placed his foot on Abu Dharr's cheek, then he thought, okay, that, you know, I've done justice now, meaning the insult and the hurt that he would have felt has definitely gone now, because he's, you know, just the way that I insulted him, you know, he managed to be, he got his sort of not revenge, but he felt, Abu Dharr himself felt content that, you know, I've made up for what I did. So then he says, Rasulullah said, "Inna ikhwanakum khawalukum," that your servants are your brothers. Okay? So he's referring to servants as ikhwan here. That don't see them as your servants, your employees, your subjects. See them as your brothers. جَعَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ. They are your brothers who Allah has placed under your control, your authority. فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ. So if one of you has a brother of his in his authority, فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلْ. He should feed him how he eats. وَلْيُلْبِسْهُ مِمَّا يَلْبَسْ. Let him wear from what he wears. And do not charge them. Do not make them work with such which is beyond their ability. If you do, if you give them hard work, then help them, support them in that work. I've heard regarding some of our Muslim brothers, that they have employees and they put so much work on them and they make them work so hard. You know, they pay them for 6 hours, they make them work 8, 10 hours, and they give them more work than they can manage without any breaks. I know one Muslim, he owns a petrol pump, and the employees are complaining that even in Ramadan, he doesn't let us have a break. We have to work in a full 8, 9 hour shifts, 10 hour shifts without any break. He doesn't even pay us anything extra. So, you know, many people say that I'd rather work for a non-Muslim than a Muslim. They give better rights and they respect their staff better than some Muslims do. So this is against the teachings of our Sharia. Look after the employees, let them have breaks, give them easy work. You know, don't give them more than they can manage. These are all the teachings of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we have left and forsaken. So all of these apply to your employees, your students, even if you're a teacher, and so on. And Rajul ibn Sahib sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala sallam, "Aliqa'ukum ikhwanukum," your slaves are your brothers. فَأَحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, so be good to them. إِسْتَعِينُوهُمْ عَلَى مَا غَلَبَكُمْ, subhanAllah, help them in something which is too difficult for them. وَأَعِينُوهُمْ عَلَى مَا غُلِبُوا, ask their help with what is too hard for you, and help them with what is too hard for them. If you can't do something, get help of them. And if something is too difficult for them, then you should help them as well. Support them in their work. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu قال, أَعِينُوا الْعَامِلِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ فَإِنَّ عَمِلَ اللَّهِ عَزَ وَجَلَّ لَا يَخْدِيهُ يَعْنِي الْخَادِمُ. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, help the worker in his work. He that works for Allah will not be disappointed. Meaning, if you help for the sake of Allah, then you can, you know, your actions won't go to waste. Allah will certainly reward you for that. باب لا يكلف العبد لا يكلف العبد من العمل ما لا يطيق. That one should not expect from his employees or his servants more than they can manage. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال لمملوك طعامه كسوته ولا يكلف من العمل ما لا يطيق. A slave is entitled to be fed and dressed, and not to be charged with something which exceeds his ability. Next riwayah 193, أنه سمع أبا هريرة يقول قال للمملوك طعامه وكسوته ولا يكلف إلا ما يطيق. A slave is entitled to be fed and dressed, and not to be charged except with what he is able to do. Yeah. One point in the previous hadith said, clothe them what you wear. This is istihbab. In this hadith, we have the right that a slave deserves to be fed and clothed bil ma'roof, what is normally acceptable for them, what is understood to be good, according to the norms, social norms, you could say, what people understand to be good. It's not necessary that the master feeds them and clothes them exactly as he would himself. This is, the Sahaba were so cautious that they did that. They made them wear the same clothes and fed them the same food. That's not wajib. Just like if a person is really miserly and stingy, that he always wears all tacky clothes, or he eats very cheap food, or for some other reason, for his zuhud purpose, right? For zuhud, he doesn't like to wear nice clothes. He wears very meager, very old and tacky clothes. Or he's on some diet where he has to eat very healthy and, you know, only vegetables. That doesn't mean that he has to force the slave to eat that and wear like that as well. The slave deserves a normal standard, not below normal, not above.
قال معلول مررنا بأبي ذر وعلي ثوب وعلى غضان الحلة وقلنا لا أخذت هذا وعطيت هذا غيره وكان الحلة قالوا غزوا إخوانكم جعله الله عز وجل تحت أيديكم وإن كان يأخذ تحت أيديه ويريد ما يأكل ويريد يسم ما يلبس ولا يكن له ما يغلبه فإن كان لكم ما يغلبه فليعد وحدي
سيدنا يقول ما أطعمت نفسك فهو صدقة وما أطعمت ولدك وزوجتك وخادمك فهو صدقة تشاف لإذ باب نفقة الرجل على عبده وخادمه صدقة. That if you spend on your slave or your servant, and the hadith says that whatever you even feed yourself, that is sadaqah. Meaning, if you feed yourself, and the intention is, I'm doing this to fulfill the right over my body that Allah has given, Allah has instructed me to look after myself, then even that is sadaqah. And if you make an additional intention that I am feeding myself so that I can strengthen myself and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get additional sawab for that as well, based on your intention. Likewise, if you feed your children, if you feed your wife, or you feed your employees, your servants, and your intention is that this is Allah's command, and Allah will reward me for it, then you will have ajr even in that. On the other hand, if you see it as a burden, and why do I have these kids? Why do I have to feed them? They're so expensive. Why do I have to spend on that? If you see it as a burden, then you won't get ajr. If you do it happily, knowing that this is Allah's command and I'll be rewarded for it, Allah will reward you for that.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الصدقة ما بقى غنى وما أبقى غنى ما بقى غنى واليد العليا خير من يد السفلى وابدأ بمن تعول تقول امرأتك أنفق علي أو طلقني ويقول مملوكك أنفق علي أو بعني ويقول ولدك إلى من تكلنا
Rasulullah said the best sadaqah is what keeps you free of need. Meaning, don't give so much, don't give all your wealth in sadaqah, then you yourself become needy, you're asking people for help. So give in charity, but keep for yourself first. Keep your own needs first. Whatever surplus to your needs, give from that to charity.
The hand that gives is better than the one that takes.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you're going to give all your wealth in charity, then you're going to be asking people and taking help from people.
So you'd rather keep some for yourself and you don't need to ask people. Start with your dependents.
Yeah.
So first spend on those who are within your responsibility. Meaning, first prioritize your own family, your own children, and then your parents and your immediate family, and then give to other places of charity.
Less that. So you don't want this to happen that your wife should say to you, provide for me or divorce me.
Meaning if you don't spend at home, then your wife's going to say to you that either start spending or divorce me and marry someone else who'll spend on me. You don't want that to happen. Therefore, spend on your wife. Or your slave should say, provide for me or sell me. You got an employee, you don't pay your employees properly. Many people do this. They have, you know, employees, they don't pay them on time, they dock their wages unfairly. They don't pay them fairly. So then the employee is always looking for another job. As soon as he gets another job, he's going to go. So pay them well. Pay them good, what's fair, and what they are due.
Or your children will say, who will look after us? Meaning, the children, if you don't spend on your children, then they'll be like, who's going to take care of us? Who's going to look after us? Where else can we go? So don't be in that position. Spend on your family and give them what's due.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بصدقة فقال رجل عندي دينار فقال أنفقه على نفسك قال عندي آخر قال أنفقه على زوجتك قال عندي آخر قال أنفقه على خادم ثم أنت أبصر.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded to give sadaqah, meaning in general maybe in a khutbah he advised people to give sadaqah.
So one person said, I have one dinar, I have a gold coin. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, spend it on your own needs. So he said, I have another. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم spend it on your wife. Then you can have another. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said spend it on your servants and then you know best whom to help. That shows that first what money you have, spend it on your own needs, on your wife's needs, and then your family's needs, your servants' needs if you have. So do your dues and your duties, fulfill them first. Then if you have some left over, then you know best where to give it. You can give it to your extended family or other people in your community, your neighbors, and then give it to other charities and poor people and other forms of charity, wherever you feel is best. So first start with yourself. The charity starts at home. Start with yourself and your family first. They have a right over you. Fulfill that right. Should we stop there? Yeah, we'll continue from chapter 100. We could complete the 99 chapter of the Kitab. 197 So we'll continue from there next week. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه جزاكم الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته